is Caitlin Houlihan. She is a project manager with the Minnesota Department of Health in their newborn screening program and is an ITIP fellow currently.
This really is quite the medley of informatics sessions, because now I'm about to talk about newborn screening. So in Minnesota, newborn screening really does handle three different programs under newborn screening. So we have the blood spot screening, which is traditionally what most people think of when they think of newborn screening. But we do also have the pulse oximetry screen for critical congenital heart disease, as well as the hearing screen for early hearing detection and intervention. And so historically, in Minnesota and nationwide, newborn screening has remained a paper-based and manual process. And not only that, but there are also some handwritten components within the newborn screening reporting process. So beginning in 2014, the Minnesota Newborn Screening Program began to look at our process, looked into how we could streamline this process, make it more electronic, as well as keeping the goals of timeliness and accuracy in the reporting process in mind as well. And so today I'm going to be specifically talking about how we have done this for our newborn hearing screening program. So to put this project into scope, almost all newborns in the state of Minnesota do receive a hearing screen. So there's about 70,000 births per year in Minnesota. So that's 70,000 newborns we are receiving demographic information on, as well as mom's contact information, and then the newborn screening results. The hearing screen is done at the hospital about 12 to 48 hours after the newborn's birth, and then hospitals are required to report those screening results to the health department. Prior to 2014, hearing screening results were reported handwritten on the blood spot specimen card. So how this worked, here's our process on this slide here. Staff would write the newborn's demographic information on a blood spot card. They would screen the newborn at the hospital, and then they would actually handwrite those hearing screening results on the blood spot card. From there, the card would be couriered to the Minnesota Department of Health, where we'd receive it at our laboratory, and we would manually type in that demographic information into our laboratory information management system and manually type in those hearing screening results. And so all of the boxes here that you see in green are tasks within the workflow that could have resulted from a data entry error or a transcription error. So you can see we've got a lot of green within this process. And so this resulted in quite a bit of inaccurate information, not only inaccurate demographic information, but also inaccurate screening results. So saying that the baby passed when actually they didn't pass the hearing screen, as well as quite a bit of missing information. So one of our quality measures with newborn hearing screening is measuring how hospitals are reporting to us. Hospitals are required to report hearing screening results to us within 10 days after the baby's date of birth. And so at about 14 days after birth, we pull our lists. And you can see here that over the years, despite our education efforts, we still saw that we were missing 10% of hearing screening results each year. So 10% of our newborns, we just weren't receiving hearing screening results. So 10% of 70,000, that's 7,000 babies per year that our staff were calling on. So that's 7,000 phone calls to the birth hospital to get those hearing screening results over the phone so that we can actually provide our follow-up services to these newborns. So here's our new electronic reporting process. You can see we've eliminated quite a bit of the green. So again, in 2014, we took a look at the current technology that was available for this process and moved this to a more electronic and automated process. And so how this works is that we now actually receive the newborn's demographic information through an HL7 ADT interface. So we receive the newborn's demographic information and next of kin information through that HL7 ADT interface, And so we receive an AO1 message that lets us know the baby's at the hospital, and we receive the initial demographic information. We do also receive the AO8 update message, because if anyone here works in the field of newborns, hospitals, the name changes actually at the hospital. So newborns are initially admitted with mom's last name and the name baby boy or baby girl, and then around discharge from the hospital or closely after discharge, they actually enter in the baby's real name into the electronic health record. And then we do also receive the AO3 notification that lets us know that the family has left the hospital. We're also now able to tell if the baby is in a neonatal intensive care unit or in a higher level special care nursery, so that helps us follow up on the baby appropriately as well. And then the hearing screening results, we don't get the hearing screening results through the HL780T interface. We actually get them directly off of the hearing screening devices themselves in the hospital. So hospitals will batch upload the hearing screening results to us through a file upload, and then the hearing screening results match up to the patient's record based on a few identifying fields. So it's really slick. And then another thing that we've changed is that we do have a new web portal that hospitals can now use to access this database. So before this, they weren't able to see, you know, their status of reporting screening results to the newborn screening program. But now they have a web portal. They can log in, see in real time what has been reported to the health department, what newborns were missing information on from their hospital, as well as pull reports to see, you know, over a specific amount of time how their reporting status is. So as of June of 2017, I'm so, so happy to say that we actually have all 91 of our birth hospitals live and reporting through this method. Thank you. it was a 2.5 year process, you know, from the first hospital we had go live to June of 2017. So with any informatics project, we've certainly had our challenges. One is, of course, stakeholder engagement. So at the hospital, we're not just working with the hospital, we're working with lots of different players at the hospital. So IT, the interface team, we had to get those hearing screening devices connected. So we worked with the biomedical team, as well as, of course, nursing staff and nursing leadership. And so playing to those different stakeholders at each of the different hospitals was certainly a challenge, and in my opinion, one of the funnest challenges. We also had challenges. So each hospital has a different electronic health record, different screening devices, different staff organization. And so we did have to create different communication plans, different project management plans, as well as go through risk assessments and troubleshooting plans for all of these different hospitals. MinScreen was declared as a specialized registry for meaningful use, and I might have forgot to mention this, but MinScreen is our sort of cute name for this electronic reporting system. So MinScreen was declared as a specialized registry for meaningful use in 2016, which certainly helped us make this a higher priority on the list at hospitals. We still struggled with getting our critical access hospitals who are not associated with a larger healthcare system. So we have about 10 of those in Minnesota. We really struggled with getting those hospitals interested, obviously, and so we did offer an additional grant to those hospitals to have them participate with us in this project. And then we are still struggling with prior to electronic reporting, we were using an old database. And so as we were onboarding, those hospitals that hadn't onboarded yet were in our old database. And as we were onboarding these hospitals to electronic reporting, we were moving them into our new database. And so we are still struggling with whether it's appropriate to combine that data over the years, to actually compare that data over the years, because they're just so very different. So I wish I could bring it back and show you how our missing rates have gone down, but our epidemiologist didn't feel comfortable with that right now. But I do have anecdotal evidence. So we have all 91 birth hospitals reporting information electronically. And so now, if we are missing those hearing screening results, it is typically because the hospital forgot to upload the results to us, and in which case we contact them, they upload all the results, and we've got them batch uploaded into our system. As well as now, we're just better able to identify if the newborn is actually missing results, meaning they actually didn't get a screen at the hospital, and in which case we contact the primary care provider and let them know of the situation. So we have many, many plans building off of this information system. So right now, one of our more interesting projects is, so right now the hospital is sending the Minnesota Department of Health the hearing screening results directly off of the hearing screening machine. So we have the most accurate information at the health department. But hospitals are still actually manually charting the hearing screening results into their electronic health record. So we have the potential to have different screening results and different information systems. And so we are piloting a project right now so that when the hearing screening results come to our MinScreen system, that then an HL7 message outputs into the hospital's electronic health record for auto charting for the hospital. We're also looking to send this demographic information that we're getting through the HL7 ADT interface into our laboratory information management system to populate that system for the blood spot screening, as well as giving, so right now birth hospitals have access to MinScreen, but we're looking into giving any outpatient screening providers as well as audiologists who might be providing diagnostic assessments to these newborns. We're looking at getting them access to this web portal as well. So we are the first newborn screening program in the nation to achieve this, and so I have many, many thanks, especially to my team at the Minnesota Department of Health, our vendor who is completely dedicated to this project with us, as well as our Minnesota birth hospitals. Of course, we couldn't do this project without them. So thank you all so much for your time.